Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org. Hello and welcome to The Amazing Show. I'm Justin Robert Young from iTricks.com, and joining me as always in the Isaac Asimov Library of the James Randi Educational Foundation is the man who makes the show, the amazing James Randi. How you doing, Mr. Randi?
I'm doing very well, Justin.
Get your impressions on the TAM conference. We haven't gotten to speak to you since everything wrapped up there at the Flamingo in Las Vegas. So if you could just give us your thoughts real quick.
Wow. Yes, it was a huge success, I must say. Far beyond my expectations. We were hoping that we might crack 700 attendees. We ended up at 940.
Wow.
And those were, I must admit, not all three-day people. Some of them came in for 1 or 2 days, registered for 1 or 2 days. But a total of 940 people were registered. And it was rather spooky to step out on that stage and see them, because the far end of the room, it was such a huge room, had different weather at the other end, and we had to send for regular forecasts so that people could move forward to get out of the rain. It was really incredible. The Flamingo ended up not serving us very well.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys had some problems with the venue.
Well, yes, we certainly did. We had problems in the past with recording. You might know about that, Justin. There
yes.
are problems with recording these
indeed,
things.
Indeed, it does happen.
We were making a video plus audio, of course. And in the past, I guess, 3 years, the previous 3 years, we'd had increasing problems with the audio-video people. They were messing up on us and jogging the camera and losing control and various other things. But we managed to get satisfactory DVDs out of it because, frankly, most of the profit on each one of the TAMs comes from selling DVDs.
After sales to people who
yes.
couldn't make it. The Flamingo will offer a service to record the goings-on and give you the video files to make DVDs, or are these people that you bring in yourself to record everything?
Well, it's a mixture of those two, and sometimes one, sometimes the other. But the companies that we were bringing in, who are recommended by the hotels that we went to, were not doing the job. And they were missing certain important things. We managed to get good DVDs out of it, and customers were satisfied eventually. You mentioned a moment ago that people who hadn't attended could buy the DVDs, but remarkably enough, we sell DVDs to almost everybody who does attend as well, because they want to have some permanent record of it. People at the Flamingo, however, on Saturday, they failed to record the audio.
Wow.
We got video.
The entire day.
Oh, yeah, the entire day and part of Sunday as well. And somebody looked down and said, oh, look at that. There's no audio coming through. And suddenly click, and the audio is coming through. Now, how anyone could make a recording under those circumstances and not look at the indicator that shows the audio level somewhere along the line, or at least slap on a couple of headphones there and listen to see whether it's coming through correctly, I cannot understand.
Yeah, that would seemingly be part of the gig.
You
know, that would be a large part to make sure that this audio-video thing comes through okay.
Well, we haven't paid the bill yet, so to the audio video people, that is. And we may be keeping some of it back, so to speak. I'm not too sure, but that's possible.
Are we at the point where we want to give out the name to recommend that maybe these people not be employed for future people in case you're planning on booking a Flamingo engagement?
No, I think we'll decline to do that.
Okay, keep that close to the vest for now.
In any case, we now have an appeal out to anyone in the audience who might have been recording the audio, and we've gotten a great number of replies. Now, the quality of some of it is not as good as it might be, but we're waiting until we have all the material in, and then we'll pick and choose and find out who did the better recordings. And we will ask for their permission to use the audio track and just dub it in seamlessly, and I'm sure that can be done. But we will also be charging the audiovisual company for having failed us and any costs that are involved in completing the DVDs correctly. Actually, I think the results will be pretty good in the
Fantastic.
Long run.
And if nothing else, you can just go ahead and we'll have voice actors go in and
edit
in the the voices for all this legendary lineup of speakers that you guys always
Wiseman thought that he could dub his own, and he said, "I know what I always say anyway." So he's got one standard speech apparently he gives all over the world. So I think we'll be able to rescue it all right. That's fine. But we already have made plans not to be in the Flamingo the following year. We have a much better venue that will make us much better profit margin.
Fantastic.
And that'll All work right. very well. So we're looking forward to that. I don't have the name of the new place just yet. They don't tell me these things. They keep them secret from me.
This all gets worked out in a room down the hall.
Yes,
and then eventually you just get the piece of paper to sign.
And everyone wears masks and things like that. It's very mysterious.
Of course, Richard Wiseman, if you have not seen his viral video of the world record-breaking spoon bending and breaking attempt, then please go online. It's on iTricks, and I'm sure somewhere on randy.org as well. And one thing, you guys have gotten so big and so prestigious now that you've actually have infighting amongst your amazing meeting presenters that erupted on the blogosphere after the conference has ended.
Well, that wasn't quite the situation.
Penn
and Teller, Penn and Teller showed up and gave us the benefit of their presence. And Penn, as you might recognize, Justin is outspoken.
Very passionate personality.
Yes, a passionate personality, that may be a better way to put it. he doesn't mind using a little rough language, let's say, and I wince at some of it, but nonetheless, he tells the truth as he sees it, and he's not afraid to have his opinion known. And we're proud of him for that very reason and many other reasons as well. So Penn delivered himself of about 2.5 minutes on the subject of global warming and used a few choice adjectives to describe Al Gore, and who you may remember, who was almost president of the United States.
Indeed.
We all remember, yes. But Penn is not a great fan of Al Gore, to put it mildly.
I think he later said that it's scientifically proven that he is annoying.
Yes, indeed. Well, something to that effect. So we had Sharon Begley there, who, incidentally, gave us a hell of a good talk. She was quite a surprise to me, because I thought, just another journalist. She's with Newsweek, and she has worked for them for quite some time now, and I thought, okay, it'll be interesting, but she really blew me away.
Mm.
Now, she wasn't prancing all over the stage or anything like that. She wasn't...
As JRF speakers are wont to do, apparently.
Yes, indeed. Some are.
Prance about.
Some are, indeed. But I must say that she presented herself very well, and she had very, very good material in her talk. It was very, very well received. But then she wrote a piece for the internet version of Newsweek.
Yeah, she has a blog on the Newsweek.com site.
And I think that she might have been a bit relaxed when she was listening to Penn deliver his piece, because I think she misinterpreted it. Now, I'm not trying to be overly kind in saying that. I think that Sharon really did overinterpret it or underinterpret it, depending on how you want to look at it. She took sort of differences with Penn about him not being scientific in the respect that he didn't believe anything Al Gore said because he didn't like Al Gore. Now, that's simplifying it enormously.
Yeah.
But all the way through, I'll point out to you, and you can see it up on our webpage now, you'll find that Penn says, "I just don't know," 4 times during the 2.5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way he felt.
Indeed.
"I just don't know about global warming." He just doesn't know. But his opinion is that it is made too much of, and particularly because Al Gore tends to support it. So Sharon has a point to a certain point.
Yes.
And they both have their points and such. And I'm interested to see what Sharon might come up with if she decides that she might want to issue a bit of a rebuttal. Yeah, address the point. Exactly. So it's all been satisfactorily handled, and Penn was very pleased to give us permission to post on our webpage the 2.5 minutes or so in which he handled the subject, and I think that explains itself very well. I think everything is resolved.
Okay. Always the diplomatic father figure that I would assume you are with your speakers. That
well, is, on occasion, hear. On occasion, but not uniformly, I can assure you.
There are some that maybe get the other side, get the horns for
yeah,
for
something like that.
Yes. Well, like the AV department at the Flamingo.
Mm.
All right.
And, bad cess to them, bad cess.
and you can always, if you're interested in hearing more about this discussion, of course, you can check out Penn wrote a column, I believe, initially for the LA Times, which has been syndicated around the country, I think, since
yes.
then, as well as addressing it on his Penn Says video blog. And you can find that, I believe, at crackle.com/Penn Says, where I will point out he is maybe a little bit more salty with his language in terms of how Sharon may have under or overinterpreted his remarks
yes.
the day before at the amazing meeting.
Salty, that's a good way to describe Tom. Yeah, sure.
Now, sitting in the hallway of the JREF is a big bowl containing an overflowing amount of little manila envelopes that you asked me during this recording to go pick out. Three at random, so...
From about 900.
Yes, and when I say overflowing, I mean overflowing. I'll take a picture and put it up on the site just so people know what I'm looking at. But explain what this is.
Well, what it is a sort of a loving cup thing that they presented me with as quite a surprise on stage. And what I didn't know was that all of the registration packets that had been given out to attendees at TAM6... contained a little manila envelope. It's about 1.5 by 3 inches here.
Mm-hmm.
And a card, just a sort of a calling card size inside. And people were asked to just write some comments on there on how the JREF has been important to them and put it back in there and that it would be presented to James Randi eventually. Now, I knew nothing about this at all, and I think it's a rather clever idea. So I do have some clever people working for me, despite rumors to the contrary. And I thought that I would ask you to step out in the hall there and take any three at random, and you have put them on the table in front of me.
Indeed.
And now I will tell you the contents. Holding it to my forehead. No, I will actually open the envelope. They're most of them unsealed, though they were gummed. All right, here's one. It says, I know this lady. It's no surprise to you for me to tell you that I love you. Oh, well, that's a common common expression
yeah.
of adoration, you know, whatever.
Put that one in the overflowing file.
Yes, you will know who this person is, but you won't read it out.
Yes, very
indeed.
Cool.
We both know her. Oh, this one is completely blank on both sides, so it's a a totally mysterious message. I see. Okay. Maybe they thought I could divine what
yeah,
was
maybe
to be
it
written
was
on it.
Teller written on stage during the reaction.
There you go.
Character.
And the third one, this one does have writing on it, which is fortunate. It's signed on the back, but we won't read the signature. Your book, Faith Healers, changed my life. I escaped fundamentalism because of you. Thank you. Well, now, this is the kind of thing, Justin, that I get every now and then. People telling me either nothing, as in the blank card, or the fact, which is very important to me, that we actually are changing people's lives, and I think in a positive way. I certainly haven't seen anything to the contrary so far. The JREF was set up to do exactly that. It was set up to produce some doubt in people's minds, some skepticism, and some critical thinking, and I think it's done all of those things. Now, there are other skeptical organizations all over the world. We have PsychOp. We have the skeptic group in California, mm-hmm. of course, with Michael Shermer. We have all of these folks, and they're all attempting to do the same thing in different ways, in different directions, and different approaches and different angles that they play. Ours has been very much more in the direction of investigation, of actually going after these people, pursuing, that is, the scallywags out there, of course, the charlatans. we actually go after them. It's cost us a lot over the years in lawsuits and whatnot, but the investment, I think, has been well worth it because it has paid off in many respects. And so our approach is somewhat different. I will mention at the same time that I was given an award by Mr. Underwood there, who comes from the other camp, so to speak, the PSYCOP. Well, what used to be PSYCOP is now CSI, of course.
Yes.
Camp. And I was greatly honored by that. And as I made my way to the microphone, Justin, this is the first time I've mentioned this. As I made my way to the microphone to a moderate amount of applause, I came up with something that just occurred to me. I thought that it was about time that PSYCOP and I mended fences.
Yes.
Because they have always been respectful of me. We had a separation some years ago when, frankly, I was told by the chairman of PSYCOP at that time, we were just being attacked by Uri Geller and his lawyers, and that got them scared. It didn't frighten me one bit because I've been through these things so many times and I've always won. I have never had to pay out a nickel,
yeah,
except in legal fees, of course.
Yeah, then a few nickel.
But I was told in so many words that I had to drop any further mention of Uri Geller, that I wouldn't use his name or refer to any of his work or claims. And I looked the chairman straight in the eye and I said, but that's what we were set up to do. I can't agree with this. And I took the badge from my lapel and placed it on the table and walked out of the room. I was followed out of the room by several people who need not be named here who were saying, oh, no, no, come back, come back, come back. And I said, no, until I resolve this situation, I'm out. That's it. And I've been out ever since.
And, of course, listeners to the podcast can refer. We had a whole episode where we talked about this. So,
yes.
I mean, more for the backstory, you guys.
Yeah.
Please go back and listen to this. But you mentioned that maybe things have kind of come to a mending point.
Well, not come to a mending point. They've always been at a mending point. It's just a case of if I could be reasonably assured, and I have been since that episode, I've been reasonably assured that we could mend fences and could get together in some way or another. I don't know quite what that would consist of yet, but I have agreed with Barry Carr, executive director of CSI, pardon me.
Yeah.
Old habits die hard. I have been invited by him to attend next year at a special conference they're having, and before that, at some sort of seminar and give a talk to the members of PSYCOP, so far as that can be arranged. And I've agreed to do both of those. I'm being cooperative in every respect, if I possibly can. And I certainly hope that something does happen, that we get back to hugging. No kissing, but just hugging. Yes.
Maybe some light petting between
Foundation
and
CSI. Let's not get into the details.
So. Very encouraging to hear,
there
though.
There you go.
That is awesome.
Well, I think it should be done because we're fighting the same battle, after all. In different ways, as I mentioned a moment ago, but we are fighting the same battle. We're out to get the bad guys. We're out to expose them for the people that they actually are, and we're quite successful at it.
And the physical proof that good is being come of this sits right there in the hallway of the JREF.
That's very true.
That overflowing
That's
cup.
That's very true. But you see, this one from the unnamed party here says, your book, Faith Hitters, changed my life. I escaped fundamentalism because of you. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so flattering.
I'm fascinated by, you know, when you wrote Faith Healers originally, you know, where does your mindset go from, hey, this is something interesting that I want to put out there. I have something to say to the world, so I'm going to write a book about it, to it taking almost like a life of its own.
Yeah. Very true. And it's so flattering to get a note like this. So flattering. Some of the other notes, and I've put them up on our webpage, a few of them. And I will continue to do so. They're always chosen at random. Mm-hmm. Every week there'll be five of them chosen at random. The message, generally speaking, is until you came along, or until the JRAF came along, essentially, I thought that I was the only person out there.
Yeah.
And I think I've mentioned on this very same microphone many times in the past, I've been in foreign countries, as I was in Copenhagen on one occasion, and in in Frankfurt on another, and even in Seoul, Korea, recognized on the street, had people run across to me and say, oh, well, the old line is, I'm a skeptic too, and I always look them up and down and say, I doubt that, just to stay in character. But they usually come around to the point where, you know, if it hadn't been for you and what you've done and for the JRF, the existence of the JRF, I don't think I would have made this change, but it's been very, quite a revelation, quite a epiphany for me. That is so flattering, though, Justin, the fact that you have made a change. And I know I'm harping on this perhaps too strongly, but I can't emphasize it enough to know that you've made a change like this in someone's life, and you know it to be a positive change. Is very, very flattering indeed.
Questions, comments, topic suggestions, email randy@itricks.com.
itricks.com.